I'll tell you what. You are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast. I'll tell you what. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage. And you are listening to my man Rob. Don't you go away. Turn to the spice.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. And right now I am honored and excited and overjoyed to be joined by, of course, you know him from his work on the SHG Network, WrestlePro, Standalone Wrestling, and even Impact Wrestling. That's right. What a resume, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Dave Sturcio. What up, Dave? How are you, man?
What's going on, man? I'm good.
Dude, thanks for a few minutes now. I had the honor of meeting you at Boardwalk Beatdown, that huge event over the summer with Standalone Wrestling. That was just a great day for me, great day for the podcast, great day for a lot of indie wrestlers. And you were emceeing the event. You know, you're doing some announcing and commentating along the way. It was such a cool day, but I remember there's just so much going on, but I met you briefly. You know, you're going around calling out all the vendors and the tables, and you're like, oh, the Bob Culture Podcast, I follow you on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, okay. But that was awesome, man. So, obviously, you know, we connected on social media and all that, and I had seen you post a picture of you actually being a wrestler a little while back, and I was like, no way, this is such a cool story. So, I thought it'd be cool to chat with you a little bit and find out how that all started, man. So were you like a lifelong wrestling fan? How did you get into the business?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to say, like, every wrestler has like a moment where they just, everything clicks as far as like your fanhood for professional wrestling. Mine just so happened to be, I'm scrolling on TV, I guess I was 7 years old, and all of a sudden I hit this channel and I'm watching this and I'm like, what is it? It's a barber shop. Like, what does this have to do with anything? And my first interaction with pro wrestling is when Shawn Michaels Cincinnati through the plate glass window. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And that right there is my favorite wrestler right off the bat, was Shawn Michaels. And I was like, this is awesome. And from there, it took off. I was a big fan during the 90s. And I was, you were a big fan during the Attitude Era, and, you know, I'm getting in trouble at school for wearing the Suck It t-shirt. It was just a lifelong thing, and I was a fan my entire life. So I grew up with my best friend, John. He got me into ECW because he was a late-night guy. He liked to stay up late and watch ECW. So he kind of introduced me to the late-night ECW crowd. And like I said, this kid has, when you ask like favorite wrestlers, people are always going to say The Rock or Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair. If you ask my best friend John his favorite wrestler, it was New Jack and Santiago. Okay, don't ask. I have no idea. That came from. Yeah, just random. And, you know, we did the whole, you know, trampoline wrestling and all that stuff growing up as a teenager.
Nice.
And I'm like, dude, we're gonna go to a school and we're going to be tag team champions one day. And that was like our goal from Jump Street. And unfortunately, you know, in my life, it's a big step back. Back in 2007, I was 21 years old, and my friend John had passed away. So it was just earth-shattering to me, because here is the guy that I grew up with and had all these goals and aspirations with, you know, and he's gone. You know, so that was like earth-shattering. Yeah, I mean, it was earth-shattering to me, but at the same time, you know, in 2007, I wasn't really in any kind of wrestling shape, you know? So I'm like, now what am I going to do? You know, like, so what am I supposed to do now as a 21-year-old kid? So for the next 5 years, you know, I told his sister, who's older than both of us, I told his sister, I said, look, if it's okay with you, I'm going to chase this for the both of us. You know, he's going to be by my side and above and all that, you know, spiritual stuff. I'm not a huge spiritual guy, but he's going to be watching, making sure I don't get hurt, and making sure all goes well. And for the next 5 years, I'm going to dedicate my life to getting in shape. Now, there's different versions of shape. To me, I thought when I broke into the business in 2012, I was a wrestler and in shape. If you've seen pictures of me in 2012, you would be like, what is he doing in a ring? I went to it. I didn't even know what independent wrestling was, to be completely honest. I didn't. I had no idea. And I went in 2012 in March. I went to a show called Pro Wrestling Syndicate. It was PWS at the time, and it was Pat Buck was the first show that he was promoting. Co-promoting with another owner, right?
Okay.
So I'm in the crowd as a fan. I see a flyer in town. I see Matt Hardy and I see Sid Vicious, and I'm like, "Holy shit!" So, like, I gotta go. I gotta go see this. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends were like, "Yeah, hey, you know, indie scene is popping." Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, "All right." So I gave it a shot. And that day, you can do your homework on this very funny moment. I was in the crowd, and Sid no showed the event. Sid no showed the event, but Pat Buck went into the middle of the ring. Dialed Sid's phone number, put him on speaker, and let the fans tap him.
No way!
Like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, like, who is this guy in the ring? And I need to meet him. I need to know who this guy is. Like, out of nowhere, like, he's in good shape. You know, he wrestled that night. Like, it was just, I'm like, who the hell is Pat Buck? So, I did some research, and it just turned out luck be a lady that night, and he was opening up his own training school in 2 months. So I went to the open house. You know, he kind of gave an introduction to himself. He said he had all these friends in the business, you know, best friends with Ryback. And at the time, I was a huge Ryback fan.
Nice.
So I'm like, yeah, right, okay. Like, he knows all these WWE guys. Like, give me a break. You know, fast forward, I met all these guys. It's insane. Like, I hung out with Ryback, you know, when they were best friends. So I'm like, holy crap, this guy, he knows his stuff. So I started training in 2012. And it just kind of took off from there. I mean, I got a little ahead of myself, you know, to be honest. Like, I was not the fan favorite in the locker room. Because the thing is, I was a local kid. So all of our shows were in the town next to me. So for the first, I don't know, 6-7 months, you know, 100 people were coming just to see me. So I got a big head. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know,
right,
take advantage of this. And I'm going to go to the WWE tomorrow and this, that, and the third. And I wasn't even close to being, you know, a good pro wrestler. I mean, sometimes it takes 5 to 10 years for me to perfect the craft. And I was decent. I knew how to bump. My finishing move was the spear going back to my football playing days.
Oh, that's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I can do this. And it kind of just took off from there, you know? Like,
nice.
The problem was I made a lot of immature mistakes, you know, coming into the business and, like, kind of pissing off the wrong people. And, you know, I wasn't really educated on how to act when like massive fame, but it was local buzz. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to freaking, you know, when I first started, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get all the girls, blah, 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 it's going to be great, you know?
Yeah.
And I just took it in the wrong direction. And I think that kind of led to, you know, unfortunate events in my in-ring career.
I got you, man. But what a story up to this point, man. I got you, you know, crazy things happen, man. And, you know, it brought you this far. It seems like, you know, you had a lot of people coming out and supporting you. That's really cool. I had to ask, you know, obviously we know some stuff happened along the way. What was the ultimate goal? Was it to get to the WWE?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I have a broadcasting background. I went to school for sports broadcasting. I was starting all that broadcasting stuff prior to wrestling. So this was like a shift in goal, right? And, you know, my first year, like I said, I was in a very, very toxic relationship. And, like, the girl didn't want me to wrestle anymore. And I'm like, oh, you know, I really want to chase this for me and my best friend in honor of him. So the goal was, of course, if you're getting into wrestling, I mean, if the goal isn't the top spot of the top company, you're not going to be successful, or you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to make the millions of dollars. Is there, like, exceptions to the rule? 100%. 100%. There's guys like Colt Cabana and guys like, you know, who have made their impact on the indie scene,
mm-hmm,
and have made a living off of it. So it's like, it does happen. So even in my first year when I said, you know what, if WWE doesn't come close, like, I can make it on the indies and start making some serious cash if I'm booked everywhere. And I was real loyal to Pat. And And while all my other friends who I came up with in June of 2012, they started going out and getting more work and more work, mm-hmm, and more work. And the independent scene, like, getting hired by this one and that one and this one. And for me, I felt like nervous to do that. I felt like I wanted to make the brand that I was wrestling in my home, you know, and I didn't want to expand. As silly as that sounds, because if you're an indie wrestler right now, the goal is to work pretty much as you can.
I get
it. You know, so...
Yeah, I get
that.
When
I was loyal, so I was wrestling once a month as opposed to seven times that my other friends were wrestling. So I think I lacked getting that experience of being out there. I did venture into some other locker rooms, like the SWF. I wrestled for Rob Deary's company. He loved me. He's a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, I had a lot of fun there. I was wrestling in 2013. I was approached by this guy, Don Brower. He had a promotion, UPWA, in North Carolina. So here I was. Within a year and a half, 2 years, I was going down North Carolina to wrestle.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. It was interesting. And then, you know, like I said, 2014 comes around, and I get the call from Pat, and he's like, you know, because at the time I was tag team partner with the Big O. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Big O, but he's a big NYWC guy.
Okay.
And I was in a tag team with him, and he broke his ankle. So all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no, I was in a tag team. I haven't singles wrestled in a year. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do singles again.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a call from Pat, and kind of going over the future plans of what's going to happen. And I get a text from Pat. He's like, how would you like to work Duggan? And I'm like, Duggan? I'm like, Pat saw Jim Duggan? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. He's like, it's real easy, and he doesn't lose.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Okay.
Let's do it. Like, come on. Like, this is a guy I grew up watching. Why not?
How old is he at this point, probably?
Jesus. I don't know. This was 5 years ago. Okay. Let's say he's 60 now, maybe 55. I don't know.
Yeah, so this was five years ago, huh?
Yeah, 5 years ago. And the exposure was great. It was fun. It was in my hometown where I was born, in Belleville, New Jersey. So it was, like, really... a homecoming of sorts. We did it at Belleville High School. I do the match, and it's the greatest night of my life. You know, like, here I am in the ring with Hacksaw, and people are booing me. I've never been booed before.
Yeah, you know what never.
I mean?
Wow.
I wasn't the heel, you know, but, right. I mean, who's gonna root against Hacksaw?
Yeah, I get it.
I got booed that night. I had an easy match. I bumped around for Hacksaw. You know, he probably gives me the same line that he gives everybody else. Stay focused, and the sky's the limit. I was like, oh, thank you so much, Mr. Duggan, and that was it. So I'm on a high, and clearly all my friends in the business make fun of me constantly, because for like 3 years after that, I was still reflecting back. I was like a kid who peaked in high school, where I was just like, oh, remember these days against Maxwell, you know? Like, it's not that big a deal, but I made it a big deal, because it was like, one of those fucking mistakes, the rest of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, man, so, no, that's epic.
It was fun. But and then a week later, they're going over what I'm going to do next. And, they said, you know, here's your next match. There's a suicidal six play. And I'm like, who is that? Like, I don't even go off the top rope, do any match. Like, why am I in this match? Like, this is going to be way out of my league. But you know what? I'll make it work, blah, blah, blah. I go to practice the following week, and I took a simple move, a headlock takeover. And unfortunately, my legs got wrapped under me, and I tore my ACL and blew my meniscus.
Oh,
and I was like, you got to be like, my girlfriend's time, turned fiance, turned wife, took me to the hospital that night, and I'm just like, no way. Like, this is a week after the Duggan match. Like, I'm like, this can't be happening, right? They're like, this is not where I want to go with this. And, he told me, you'd be out for 10 to 12 months. Most likely 13, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, like, this is crazy. And then I lost my shoot job at the time because I wasn't able to work. And I couldn't tell him I was wrestling. I said, well, I felt, I don't know, you know, like some kind of BS story. But, yeah, I mean, that was
crazy.
2014 was a dark year for me, you know, only because I missed it. I saw all my friends advancing. I saw all my friends getting these extra spots on Raw and SmackDown, and I'm like, my God, man, if I was healthy, I'd be there, you know? Like, I would be the guy. And my goal right then and there was to get back and resume my wrestling career. And it took me, I got great rehabilitation and rehab services by my guys over at Health and Fitness Professionals, and they got me in the ring in 10 months. So I got back. It was a rumble. Easy stuff. I got to do a spot with the Blue World Order. You know, I'm good friends with Mike Bucci and, you know, Nova,
mm-hmm.
and the Blue Meanie and guys like that. Like, it's fun stuff. And then after that, something kind of triggered me where I got, like, a singles match with a squash, and I beat him up, and I had all these good spots, like a big welcome back chant. I'm in my wrestling gear. I'm like, this is everything that I worked to get back for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of clicked where I wanted more. So when I found out that I didn't have anything lined up, I got real pissed. And I was like, but why can't I, can I get in this? Can I get in that? And they just didn't have anything because they didn't know. The management didn't know where I wanted to go with this. Like, do you still want to wrestle? Because when I was hurt, we had a television show, and I was one of the hosts.
So
I was doing all this commentary and production work. They're like, well, what do you want to do? You got to choose. And I'm like, I'm a wrestler. Like, what the hell?
Right.
And I decided, I got real bitter. I shot off at the mouth on a different podcast, and I was fired. I was let go. I was told, don't come back. And I'm like,
really?
Okay. So the first,
okay.
And it was justified. Very, very justified. I shot off the mouth. I said the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, again, 5 years ago, I'm a completely immature person. I feel like I've only matured within the last 8-9 months. So there's a lot of bad blood at the time, and a lot of my closest friends were just against me and just didn't care for me anymore. And I was like, F them. I'm going to go work with the SWF and Rob Fury, and I'll still make my way. And I had a match, and I saw all the boys there. This was months down the line. I saw all my friends that got booked on that same show, and I really missed it. I was like, I got to get back. I have to get back. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but I got to get back. And I did. I made the phone call to Pat. I apologized for everything I said.
Wow.
And this was a week before the Global Force Wrestling Show, where it was going to be the announcement of the creation of WrestlePro. So a week before that he announced that WrestlePro was a thing, I was back, and they didn't know what role I was going to play. They didn't know if I wanted to wrestle or I wanted to be a broadcaster or whatever. And I didn't know either. I had no idea. So I decided, let's do another Rumble. I feel like somebody called me The Undertaker at Rumble because the Rumbles were there and I was always in them no matter what.
Nice.
But,
had a great
spot, I messed around with a bunch of my friends. The night came and went, and that was it. And then, months go by, and I'm not booked per se. And Pat really said, WrestlePro needs production. It needs commentary. It needs this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Interview, whatever. And I said, all right, Let's do it. But before I do it, let me put over one of the newer up-and-coming, well, not even up-and-coming, he's been doing it for like 6 years, but like, as far as the character is concerned, Christopher Avery Stooley was a character that they created.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a psychopath from the psych war, this, that, and the third. He's undefeated. So I told Pat, I said, why don't we do like a Rocky 3? I don't know if you're familiar with the movie.
I see where you're going with it. Yep, keep going, yep.
I said, why don't we provoke this as if this fight come back, Pat, and I'm going to beat this guy to a pulp and just be sacked as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And we swung it the other way where he was crushed, and it was perfect. The only issue was in that match, I took a boot to the head, and I was kind of foggy the rest of the match. The match ends, I go to the back, I'm fine. And then that night I went home, and it just so happens this match was on my birthday of 2016. So I went home, and I told my fiance at the time, I said, look, I don't feel good. I don't know what this is. I don't feel well. I've been concussed 5 times before.
Oh my gosh.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like this is another one, and I'm not sure. So long story short, I go to the doctor's, get brain scans and stuff. And the doctor recommended, he said, look, if you want to remember your life going forward, I really strongly suggest you stop it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, that was heartbreaking because I felt like that could have been my reintroduction to wrestling if I wanted to.
Right.
But I agree with the doctor. I agree with my wife. And I said, you know what? Time to step away. And then it was short-lived. I had some cool memories in pro wrestling, but I said, I got more to offer, And I'm good friends with Pat Kenny, who's Diamond Diamond of ECW. And he told me, and I'll never forget this, it was Christmas Eve one year, and we all get together at a bar every Christmas Eve, and he said, Dave, you never have to take another bump in wrestling to make it in wrestling.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, what do you mean? He's like, you do this announcing stuff, you can make it, you know? And then I look at stories like a Corey Graves, or like a Nigel McGuinness, mm-hmm. the guys that just put in, that got short sold, you know, but made it, you know, made it big. And I'm like, you know what? You're goddamn right. Like, I can do this. And, you know, I started doing a little commentary for WrestlePro. And then one day, I went out to, you know, do my commentary. Pat was looking around for the ring announcer at the time. And he was nowhere to be found. And it was a pre-show. And I said, dude, let me try this, you know? And he's like, yeah, all right, go ahead. So I did ring announcing. And then this next show, I'm the official brand new ring announcer. And it was like, all this stuff came full circle. And, you know, I've been having more fun, and this is not even any bit fabricated. I've been having more fun since pro wrestling as an announcer, as a ring announcer, you know, play-by-play commentary, because not only do I get to be around the guys, but I get to, you know, try my very best to make their match, which, obviously, all the credit in the world to the guys in the ring.
Yeah.
They're the ones doing the dirty work. You know, I'm just the one trying to enhance it a little bit, and I'm having the time of my life. Now, that doesn't mean it was all sunshine and rainbows for the last 3 years, because it wasn't. You know, I was right. still, something was missing. I don't know what it was. And I found out, you know, down the line, I just found myself sad a lot. And I was like, why the hell am I so sad? This is so stupid. I'm having so much fun. Why do I find myself in this cloud, you know?
I got you,
and,
man.
I mean, so then I finally, you know, I was diagnosed, you know, with some serious depression. And I was like, oh, all right, I didn't know that. I thought I was having the time of my fucking life. You know what I mean?
I got you, man. I guess that's how you learn, though. Like, it's such a crazy story. My understanding was, you know, obviously still getting to know you, I thought that you were injured, and it was just like, I thought it happened in the match with Duggan or whatever, and I thought you were injured, and I thought that was it. Like, I didn't know that you actually did come back, and you went through all this stuff. And then you had to make the decision with your fiance, obviously, which obviously I think is the, you know, the right decision. And how hard was it for you? Like, obviously you seem very happy with the decision made. How hard was it for you to kind of turn the page and get into this whole broadcasting thing or announcing?
Well, knowing that my original goal after college was to be a broadcaster, you know, it wasn't a hard decision. In fact, I felt, it's funny, because I met Gary Michael Capetta at
yep.
Boardwalk Beatdown, and the week before, I did an interview with him.
Great.
And it was great to talk to him, but he also said something that really stood out to me. He's like, you go to an indie show, you go to WWE, you go to Impact, no matter where you go, there's dozens and dozens of wrestlers in the back, right? And they're all either on the card, not on the card, whatever. They don't know what's going on. He goes, how many ring announcers are there? I said, well, one. He's like, one. Exactly. Like, and I was like, whoa. You know, like,
that's a great. Right, you got some good lines already, man. This is good stuff you're getting.
Like, you make a valid point. And now, you know what? I'm gonna crush this shit. And it was in that moment, you know, last year, 2018, I decided finally that I'm done making mistakes. I'm done doing all the stupid stuff that I was doing. And I mean, you can range it from popping off at the mouth or entertaining certain people or just, you know, talking to too many people. It was just bad. It was just bad, and I wasn't feeling good because I was depressed and I was lonely and I wanted attention. And it wasn't the right attention. Not at all. So I was like, you know what? I need help. I need to go talk to a doctor and get this shit figured out if I ever want to make it in any line of work.
Yeah.
In June of last year, late July, I stepped into the doctor's office, and I haven't stopped going. I go once a week. I talk to a professional, you know, how to do the right thing, you know, stop entertaining outside distractions, be focused, you know, and it's such a weird thing to think about the journey of how far I've come in just a short amount of time. Like, that was July, and, you know, we're sitting here in February, and I feel absolutely wonderful about what I've done in the last couple months, and truth be told, like I said, I'm not a huge spiritual person, but if God works in some serious ways. I'm expecting my first kid in June, man.
So I was gonna say congratulations are in order, by the way, man. Yeah.
Like, dude, it just it came to me at the right time. You know, like I got this whirlwind of positivity and just trying to do the right thing. And look, I'm gonna say the wrong thing once in a blue moon, okay? But now, from now on, I look before I tweet. Instead of tweeting out something real quick,
yeah.
I say, let's reread this before this hits the internet. You know, like,
yeah. So, I got you, man.
Yeah, dude. And then Twitter, for the love of God, they need to add an edit button. They really do. Like, it's just one of those things that's so annoying.
Especially for us. Oh yeah, especially for us passionate sports fans. You know, I know you're big. I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan, but I let you come on the podcast anyway. You know, no, I'm just kidding.
You talk about a contributor to depression.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there you go. No, honestly though, I mean, what a story. It sounds like everything was meant to be. I saw you at Boardwalk Beatdown. You had the biggest smile on your face. I mean, that was like wrestling heaven, first of all. But you had the biggest smile on your face the whole time. And let's talk about how this like announcing career in such a short amount of time really took off. We saw you on Impact with Johnny Impact and of course Austin Aries. Man, how did that happen, dude? I saw that picture and I'm like, good for you, man. Like, what a moment. How did that all come together?
I mean, like I said, I was ring announcing for a while at WrestlePro, and, you know, I'm not, truth be told, in the New York market, professional wrestling is completely oversaturated. There's so many companies. So when Impact coming to New York, you know, I didn't say much. I didn't say much about it. I said, cool, and I'm good friends with Kevin Matthews, and I've been friends with him since I started.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was friends with the office, and Pat Buck was hired on to do some help out in the back with production work. And, you know, when it's like, okay, we need a local ring announcer, Pat vouched for me. And for all the years, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, this really did come full circle because at one time, Pat fired me. You know what I mean? So
for him to
speak highly of me enough to get on an Impact show and all the tapings and the Balance of Glory and all that, I was like, wow, man, all he did was simple text. You want to announce Impact? I said, what? He's like, pay-per-view Sunday, 2 days of taping, Monday, Tuesday in New York. I said, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And
amazing.
I told her the day happened, and I was just like, I can't believe this is happening, you know? And I'm meeting all the Impact guys, and then, you know, having small talk with, you know, a couple of the older vets, like Abyss and Tommy Dreamer, who I talk to every so often because of baseball and football. He's a huge sports fan, too, so it's cool to talk to him about something other than wrestling. But,
wow.
You know, and Conan and guys like that is all kind of, you know, coming up to me after the Balance of Glory pay-per-view and shaking my hand and saying, you did a great job. And I'm just like, well, damn, like, this is unbelievable. And like I said, this all contributes to me working on my mind and working on my positive vibes and all this stuff. And so sometimes it sounds corny and stuff when I'm so redundant about positivity. But
no, not at all. Not at all.
Look what it's done for me, you know, like, doing the right thing, being, you know, faithful and loyal to my wife, and just being, you know, a kid on the way. Like, it's all of this stuff has come full circle, and it was just surreal. Like, the whole thing was surreal. And I just did it again a couple weeks back, and they had their tapings over at their Twitch show tapings in Brooklyn. And I got to this time, I got to jump on commentary with Josh Matthews, and I was like,
really?
It's on Twitch. It was the Battle of Brooklyn. I got to pretty much shoot the shit with Josh Matthews.
I'll check that out, man. Like, that's great.
I was like, this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. And then, who knows what the future holds for Impact Wrestling? I firmly believe they're always going to find a way. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, Impact's going down. They're going bankrupt. They got no money. You know, but I truly believe that they're always going to be able to put a good product out there. And even if they have to collaborate with some of the independents, that's fine too, man. More wrestling for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And something about Impact, too, man. First of all, congratulations. That's a phenomenal story. I hear, you know, they always have, like, great relations with their fans. Like, people always say such positive things about, like, the backstage stuff. And, you know, they have a really great connection with their fans, you know, take care of all the kids, really make people feel special when they come to events. And also, I wanted to say, as you're telling the story here, you know, nothing will compare to the world of professional wrestling. It really is quite the circus of things going on, and there's nothing like it. But like being in a band, you know, I started out obviously as a drummer, and you know, I'd been on podcasts that led to me kind of, you know, doing the podcasting and a little bit of journalism and the interview thing and whatnot. There's a lot of parallels. You know, you walk around, you play a show, you sell your t-shirts, you sell your CDs. You know, I go to indie shows. I saw guys, you know, in New Jersey, guys like Leo Rush walking around with a box of 8x10s, you know, just walking around talking to people, trying to make a name for themselves. It's, there's a lot that goes on, but I see in your story, man, you worked, you learned from your mistakes. I don't want to say it came full circle, but it seems like you're just climbing and climbing. Who knows what's next in your career, man? What is, you know, I mean, there's so many options out there. Don't limit yourself to any one thing, but what is the ultimate goal? Is it WWE? Is it permanent impact? Is it whatever the future holds? What's the goal?
I'm going to be completely honest. At this point, you know, I do a lot of sports broadcasting now, and that takes precedence sometimes over pro wrestling, where I just feel better about doing that. Obviously, my application has been submitted about 50 times to the XFL. I think that I can definitely contribute there if I'm given the chance.
That's kind of like the perfect. That's like the perfect marriage. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as soon as Vince announced it last week, I ran back into work and I'm telling all these people, and they're like, "What the hell is the XFL?" I'm like, "You don't understand. This is the greatest thing."
Yeah.
Like, it just felt right. As soon as they announced it, I was like, "Oh boy, like this is nuts." And then, you know, in December they do the city reveal, and they said New York, MetLife Stadium. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this, you talk about, like, something happening for a reason. It's like, I worked for the Giants in 2007 as an intern. You know, so I was in that stadium once before. You know, how fitting would it be if that's where I made my career? You know, like,
yeah,
and it's 11, 12 years later. Pro wrestling to me, I firmly believe, and this is a tribute to a guy like Mauro Ranallo, where I've watched this documentary like four times.
Dude, that's it's so intense, man. I mean, even from the get-go, man.
Yeah, dude. It's such a positive influence, making sure that, you know, he was bipolar, so it's a little bit more extreme than just being a sad guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some of those things. If you think about it, you know, his first breakdown happened because his best friend died. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding? Like, my best friend died. Like, I was like, holy hell, like, this is all really resonated with me. It really stuck with me.
I'm not going to lie. When you told me that, I made the same connection, man, while you were telling me that story. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, like, everything happens for a reason. And as far as a pro wrestling standpoint, I think I'm good on commentary. I'm not great. I got work to do. I think I'm a decent ring announcer. I want to be better. Impact Wrestling is always in the tri-state area now lately, it seems like. So they come calling and they say, we need you, I'm there. You know, and I don't know if they're in a position to hire somebody, a.k.a. full-time. But if that was the case, then great. You know, I would sign a contract with Impact today. You know, and WWE, it just seems like there's always a new, fresh face on the scene. So I feel like, am I on the radar? Probably not. Like, I'm just being, you know, realistic. Do I have friends that are on Raw every Monday? Yeah, and I talk to guys like that every Monday. Like, just feedback about the show and stuff like that, but at the same time, sometimes I'm my own worst enemy, because once I get the ball rolling, sometimes I talk too much. Like, I'm probably talking too much right now. You know?
No, dude, that's your job, man.
Yeah, but I'm saying as far as a promotional standpoint,
right?
You know, constant Facebooks and Twitters, and, you know, it's constant, and sometimes it rubs a couple of the boys the wrong way, like, all right, dude, enough. You know, and
right. Sometimes
it takes some of my more successful friends in the business to tell me, pull it back a little bit. You know, you don't need to be, commenting on every single thing, you know. So I did that. You know, I take what they say. I always take their advice. They never steered me in the wrong direction. So the ultimate goals in wrestling, I mean, if WWE comes calling, you know, right now I have tickets to WrestleMania. However,
I'll see you there, bud.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. You know, Pat says, hey, they need extras because they're in the tri-state area, and Pat and Kurt Hawkins, guys like that who train for the trainers at these creative post schools, and they need extras, then who knows? You know, who knows if I'm in the back? I don't know. But,
yeah,
again,
man,
it's all about who you know, and you know, beat this into the ground so it really resonates. But it's all about doing the right thing, man. It's just about making progress every day and just not taking any step back. Just to do some plenty. You know, not taking any step back and just keep driving forward. And it's just, it's one of those things I preach to all my students. You know, I work in education on during the day. And, you know, I had a student, you know, my personal student, I'm a one-to-one paraprofessional with this kid.
Good for you,
he's
man.
Blind, legally blind, right? And he's just the biggest WWE fan ever. He might know more history than me.
That's awesome.
And I've been watching it for 30 years. And I'm like, and he said he wanted to take acting class because he wanted to learn how to do a promo. Well,
that's awesome.
You know, so... Yeah, and then he's like, I'm joining the wrestling team because if Kurt Angle can do it with a broken freaking neck, I can do it with one good eye.
I love it.
God. Like, yeah. And I instill this in the kids that I'm around every day that no matter what the obstacle, no matter physical, mental, whatever, you know, broken home, doesn't matter. When you're at school and you have goals and professionally as much as I do, you know, go chase them. Don't let anybody sidetrack you. It's just been... It's been a complete whirlwind, and like I said, right now, February 2019, I'm the happiest version of me.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Really well said, and ton of credit to you. You know, I see, you know, some of the stuff you post on social media, you know, talking about kind of you have a great relationship with your students, I can tell. You know, I teach drum lessons, you know, I'm not quite the same, but it's good to be a good role model for kids and stuff like that. And I can tell they really respect you. They think you're cool. And I know you stand up for them from time to time. So I think that's really important, man, and good for you.
Yeah, I mean, in today's day and age, like, you know, with bullying being at an all-time high,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was bullied in high school, and I know how it felt to feel different. You know, I was the short, fat, pudgy kid that people just picked on. You know what I mean? It's just the way it was, and I dealt with it for a long time. And as soon as my student, you know, said that there was something going on, I just came for the big brother role. And, you know, a lot of these kids look at me like, you know, oh, he's one of us. You know what I mean? Like, it's
that's
not
awesome.
Like he's a teacher. He's not one of these guys that are going to, like, you know, give you homework. He's one of those guys that are going to shoot the shit with you before and after class.
Yeah,
so,
you got a good relationship. Yeah,
it's so much fun, dude. So much.
That's great, man. Real cool. Just a couple more questions. You were kind of talking about Moro earlier. I wanted to ask you more of your. You know, I've seen you obviously do a lot of announcing and stuff. When you do the commentary, do you have like a particular style? Are you more of like the Moro with the pun? Which I always love the puns. I try to do that a lot in my writing and stuff. Sometimes it's too corny. Are you more about like the puns and like the John Sterlings and the Jim Rosses and the Moro Ronaldos of the world?
Yeah,
are you more the straight man?
I would say that's my style.
Love it.
I love Moro Ronaldo. There is only one Moro Ronaldo, so I have to kind of be the only one Dave Sergio. You know what I'm saying? So
love
if
it.
I can lift it up a little bit. You know, I'm a big sports fan, so like when somebody hits a big super kick, you might hear me throw a Chris Berman and like, back, 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 God. You know, like,
I love it.
Take your head off or something. So, I mean, like, everybody's got their own style. I try to be humorous a little bit, you know, try to throw some humor in it, but when it gets serious, it's really time to go. And it's just been fun. I saw a lot of great, great matches. Like Cody Rhodes, where he's been or where he's going, you know, to call a couple of his like recent matches in the last year or so has been something surreal, man. It's like, and he's even told me like it was good. He liked my style, blah blah blah. You know, it's like to get compliments from people, it makes it feel like you're doing something right. You know, like instead of, you know, because a lot of the time, you know, announcers and stuff, they get lost in the shuffle because they're not either trained or whatever. To me, it's not that I get bitter, but it's where, when these guys are ring announcing or they're commentating and they don't have a broadcasting background or any kind of actual, you know, training in the skill, it kind of rubs me like, oh, man, come on. Like, I went to broadcaster school. Let me do my thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get
you know,
that.
But there's so many, and that's, it's not to discredit any of their work. There are guys out there working every single day of the year on the independents, and more credit to them. I just don't have that time, so I'm kind of like shooting for the stars right now. And you know, a lot of these guys are plugging away and doing their version of work. And I'm just saying, you know what? Every WrestlePro show that comes on, I'm gonna give it my A+ effort. Every time Impact might call, I'm gonna give my A+ effort. But I'm not gonna really, at this point of my life, I'm not gonna say like I'm gonna drive 3 hours for a small payday just so 10 fans can see me. It's just not my style.
And
it's not saying that's selfish or just egotistical, but it's just like, I have a lot going on. I got work. I got my kid on the way. Like,
yeah,
it's all the time. Had I been 10 years younger right now and 23 years old, single, and I'm proud and doing my thing, then maybe things are different. But I'm 33, going to be 34 in September. So, you know, it's exciting to see that some of these guys, like Amaro, get their break at age 40 plus. And I'm like, all right, so I got some time. You know, I got to keep plugging away. And the break will come if I keep working hard and doing the right thing. The style itself of commentary, I try to do my own thing, but at the same time, of course, like, every time I say to myself, all right, you know what, this wrestling stuff, it's just, I like it, I love it, it's not going to pan out. And I'll watch an NXT TakeOver and listen to Moro, I'm like, I'm going to make it. Like, no matter
yes.
what, I'm going to make it. So it's like, wrestling is very hot and cold, but lately, you know, with Mania season on the press, you know, right here, so it's like one of those things where it's like, the Tri-State area is going to be flooded with pro wrestling fans and ways to make an impact.
Oh, yeah, man. And dude, yeah, it really well, no pun intended, but yeah, impact. But I get what you're saying, man. Really, really well said, and that's kind of a perfect segue here because WrestleMania is coming to town, you know. NXT is going to be down kind of by me in Tom's River. I'm going to go to NXT on Thursday. That's going to be so cool. I can't wait. We have all this stuff going on. There's going to be all these conventions coming to town. The state of wrestling right now, I feel like, is so crazy in a very positive way. WWE is bringing in guys that you never thought they would bring in. That, you know, NXT is going crazy. Now there's NXT UK. You know, they're bringing in more talent. I think right now, I mean, you know, we have the AEW stuff going on. There's so much behind the scenes stuff going on with that. We don't even know right now. I think this is the perfect time for you. You know, things are all headed in the right direction for you. What, first of all, what do you think of the state of the current state of the pro wrestling world right now? And any thoughts about any of the AEW stuff? Would that be something you might be interested in getting involved with? I just feel like the time is right. But what do you think?
I definitely sent a text to Cody Rhodes. I had his phone number because me and him were working together on the
yes. Love it.
Going into the All-In pay-per-view, we had a guy, Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
I know him. He was very rude to me at Boardwalk Beatdown. It was awesome.
He's rude to everybody.
It was great.
But overall, he's a fast, fast riser, and I couldn't be more proud of the kid. And, you know, so we were going back and forth about Cody's crazy. He's crazy in the best way where, like, if something needs to drop at midnight on the dot or something needs to drop at 8:05 or whatever. So we were texting back and forth about that. And then when All-In was approaching, you know, I was very uneducated on the All-In pay-per-view. I saw a couple things, but I sent him a text. I said, look, I'll fly myself out to Chicago just for a chance to ring announce one match. I don't care, whatever. And then I went on Twitter and I saw that they had the full announce team lined up already.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get a call.
Hey, there's another one in Vegas. There's another one in Vegas coming up, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'll fly myself to Vegas. That'll end well. But overall, like, professional wrestling right now is at an all-time peak. One word to describe it is free. You know what I mean? Because there's just so much going on right now. And while I always say that, you know, pro wrestling is oversaturated in the New York market, as a whole, there's not many places to go to get that full-time work. There's WWE. There's obviously NXT, which is with WWE. And then there's Impact, and that's it. You know, if you want to go to Japan, go to Japan. Like, those things are too popular, you know, over there. Ring of Honor, another one, it's amazing. All the amazing work that MLW has been doing. I got to catch up on the latest pay-per-view they just had. I'm going to check that out today, probably. But there's so many places to work. And then with the announcement of AEW, it's like, okay, this might be a game changer because, and a lot of people, and it's sad to see a lot of people talk bad about it. Not so much bad about it, but like, oh, you know, there's no roster, there's no substance, there's no this, there's no that. It's just going to be a pay-per-view, one and done. And I'm like, you realize just behind all this? Like, you realize that Cody Rhodes is the father effing son of Dusty Rhodes? I mean, he doesn't have the greatest mind for this business.
Yeah.
And then you add the Bucks, and then you add branding for marketing, and just.
It's brilliant.
It's huge. And me being the football fan that I am, seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars owner get involved in this is like, whoa, you really dove headfirst into this. And I truly believe that AEW is finally going to be one of those driving forces that if WWE guys aren't happy with what's going on in their personal storylines or careers, then that's where to go.
As we've been seeing,
You know, and like, and who knows? I mean, like I said, I never ever root for anybody to be fired or released, because it, in reality, WWE is where you're working and you're fired. That's like rooting for somebody. Like, when some people get released, it seems to happen like a Black Monday. It happens like a day after game camp, where all these contracts are running up. Some people get released, some people get re-signed. But for people to be like, oh, thank God, you know, this guy, you know, he's sick, but thank God he lost. Like, you're making fun of somebody losing their livelihood.
True,
you know?
True.
So for me, I feel like if you're unhappy, that's fine, but just keep in mind, look where you're at, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it seems like they're finding new things for people to excel. Like, again, I'm friends with Brian Myers, Todd Hawkins, right? And I talk to him almost on the regular. And to see that they're doing something with him and Ryder is, like, so, like, rewarding. And it's paying off for him dividends. He went in there and lost 260 freaking matches in a row. And like,
yeah.
I know wins and losses don't mean anything, but he made that his own.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
I have the shirt, for crying out loud, you know, like the t-shirt of all the tick marks of all the losses.
It's a great shirt, yeah.
This is like an unbelievable, phenomenal thing for this guy, because he was brought back, you know, he worked with WWE, then he goes back to the independent, he makes a name for himself on the independent relatively quick, and then next thing you know, he's back to WWE, and now he's finally, you know, after all this time, he might get something cool with Ryder. And then, like, you look at, like, a Mojo Riley. I don't know who that guy is from a hole in the wall. But I was super excited, even if he's labeled as a good wrestler, a bad wrestler, whatever wrestler, the fact that he had a vignette the other day was like,
yeah,
it's cool. They're giving him another chance. You know what I mean? Like, they let, like, give it time before you get upset and you're like, I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you never know what's going to happen. If you're patient, you're positive, and you keep moving forward, things can happen. You know, what world do we live in where we thought that a guy like, you know, these three guys in the Shield, you know, they come and debut and they're like big indie darlings, and then they're doing the NXT stuff, and they're one of the most popular wrestlers in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's like, crazy.
It's unbelievable, and that's exactly, it's banana town. Like, I can't get over, like, I am a big, big advocate and fan of these long journey stories that pay off. And you know, I use Moro as my influence because I'm in the announcing line of things. But if you see somebody, like, anybody, it doesn't matter, who, like, come up, start an NXT, get to the main roster, and now they're headlining WrestleMania, it's like, whoa, you know, like, wow. Let's take a step back and realize what this guy just went through. I mean, like, for crying out, Seth Rollins tore his ACL just like me. You know, it's the worst injury in the world. Sucks.
Yeah.
But he, you know, He embraced it. He's got a damn documentary on it, all this recovery, and all of a sudden, he's going to be the last guy standing in WrestleMania. And, I mean,
oh yeah,
as a mark myself, I'm a big Brock Lesnar guy, so it's like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Wrestling as a whole has just been surreal.
Dude, really well, really, really well said. And it's like you said, you know, you see these indie guys. That's why it's so important to support these indie guys. You know, you got guys like Casey Navarro out there, what, 19 years old. It's crazy.
It's
you never know.
Funny you mention him, but it's like, at first, you know, he gets into the business. He was doing a lot of, I'll never forget the first, direct message I got from Casey saying, hey, check out my backyard said, I really want some feedback. And I'm like, backyard, come on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, and then he comes in to throw wrestling 65 pounds, soaking wet. And I was like, yo, you need to get in the gym. And I was one of, you know, the guys that were in the gym with him every so often.
Really?
Like, lifting weights. And then see him, at first I'm like, okay, like, let's pump the brakes, kid. You know, like, let's get a little humble, blah, blah, blah. But boy, did he prove me wrong, man. He
good kid.
One of the best long time. Yeah, he's such a good kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, seeing him grow is really, really awesome.
Yeah, man, that's good, and that's awesome. You have a like good relationship with him, because again, you know, you see these guys, and I'll put you in this category as well, man. You know, who knows where you're going to be in a couple months from now? You know, you guys work hard, like I said. You know, it's kind of similar to being in a band. You know, you want to get your name out there. You know, you said you kind of stayed local early. Now you're kind of branching out. You know, you're pretty much announcing the main event on Impact, man. It's crazy. You never know what's going to happen, dude. And congratulations and continued success, all that. I have a good feeling for you. I really do, man.
Thanks, man.
But I do have one more question for you, man. For guys like me, you know, obviously I started, I mean, I'm still a drummer, I play in a band. You know, I was on the other side of podcasts getting interviewed and stuff like that. Now I'm the host and I'm doing a little bit of journalism and all that kind of stuff. A little bit of a transition for me. Still learning, you know, I got a couple big interviews at Boardwalk Beatdown. I got a lot more interviews coming on the way. I'm very excited about that. Any advice you give to someone like me or someone trying to do the whole PA announcer thing, broadcaster, commentating, journalism, any advice for anybody?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, about an hour and a half ago when I kept ranting.
no, it's all good.
to me, it's all about doing the right thing. You know, I know it sounds, again, redundant, and I've said it a million times, but if you're in the business and you're trying to aspire to be something big, you know, you have no room for error, you know, because one bad error can cost you everything, you know, and it almost cost me everything. So for me to do the right thing and just try to be more positive and just be happy for everybody else, don't be bitter. Don't be like, oh, why does he have that spot or why does that guy have that spot? Just work hard. Like, I had a chance to do something really cool a couple of years ago with the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm like, this could be my break. And it didn't happen, but I didn't sit there and sulk and get mad and like, how can they do this to me? You know, they strung me along for a whole summer, like, I should just quit, this sucks. Instead, it's like, all right, whoever got it, which they hired the guy from the Cavaliers,
yeah.
I love that blue guy who's already working in the NBA. So it's like, all right, that's not so bad, you know? Like, if
right.
I walk to Joe Schmo from Maine or something like that, you know, then I'd be pissed off. But you just have to keep working hard and just do the right thing, make the right connections. You know, stay loyal to your the closest people. And I say this in the utmost respect to people with a lot of friends. I have a thing where I think it, you know, four quarters is greater than 110. You know what I'm saying? If you have that
yes.
core people that stand by your side and support everything you do, that's really all you need. I have my wife. I have my best friends that I've been friends with since middle school and high school. They're still around. That they all grew I hang out with. I have a couple people in pro wrestling. I don't need to have all the friends in pro wrestling. I need to have the right friends in pro wrestling. You know, like, I don't need all the, like, the 1 million people following me on Twitter. I don't care. You know, like, I just want to make it. And the only way you make it is if you surround yourself with good people in this world. You know, any negativity, shut it down. Anybody trying to cause you harm or stress, there's a block option, man. And you don't have to deal with the everyday nonsense. You really don't. And like I said, I was a culprit of doing a lot of wrongdoing and just being an idiot, to be honest with you. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like, I need my friends, my family, and my pet. That's it. So just do the right thing. Keep working hard. And, you know, for every no you hear, if you hear, you know, 100 no's, which I have, you know, I've heard a bunch of them, there's going to be that one yes that kind of makes everything feel like, okay, I did it.
Wow, man. Really, really well said. Hey, Dave, thank you for a few minutes. Actually, before I let you go, I know you don't want 1 million followers, but it wouldn't hurt anyway. Where can people follow you on Twitter and social media, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's Twitter. I'm at Dave Sergio, spelling of my name. And I'm on Facebook. You can look up the HSG Network to follow all my broadcasts on there. Follow WrestlePro, at WrestlePro on Twitter. You know, follow Impact, follow all these guys. Like, all my friends that you see me retweeting or interacting with, they're all aspiring to be such big things. So follow them all, man. Don't just follow me. I mean, that's great, and I like interacting with people on Twitter and stuff. Sometimes it's a little too much. Like, the hate for Tom Brady last night was for real. I can't believe people are hating this guy so much, and, like, he's taking his father first and his wife and his kid. I'm like, how are you hating on this guy? So I tend not to get too... I'm not a political guy, so don't come to me about politics because I can't do it anymore. I voted one way. I felt bad about it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a politics dude. And
gotcha.
Don't come to me about all your Congress issues. I have no idea about it. I'm not educated, and my opinion is completely not valid. So
Yeah, that's why we do these things. Yeah, I tend to steer away from the politics on the show as well. I get what you're saying, man. But, dude, really, really great advice. Really well said. I hope to, you know, actually, you know, hook up with you and shake your hand and all that sometime somewhere down the line at WrestleMania or something like that. We will be podcasting out there and tailgating. So if you're not behind the scenes there being an extra or walking down the ramp or whatever you'll be at that time, I hope you stop by the Bob Culture Podcast booth over there and we'll chat, have some predictions, whatever you want, eat some wings. It's going to be great, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely. We'll keep in contact. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been, honestly, a very long time. I hosted my own podcast once upon a time. I hosted my own blog once upon a time. And it got me into knee-deep into shit. And I was just like, yeah. I got to get out of the public eye for a little while. But this is the first time I've been able to actually talk on a public forum in quite some time. So I really appreciate the joint event a little bit. So
yeah, cool. Man. No, it was great. All really well said. I took a lot from it, man, so I super appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, dude, and hopefully we'll chat soon, man. We'll be seeing you at some wrestling events. Thanks for coming on, Dave. I'll see you, bro. And make sure you get that Dallas Cowboys onesie, okay, for the little one.
You guys already on order, brother.
All right, bro. Thank you so much. Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.